Pastor Ray Bentley on God's protection over those who serve Him.
Until God is finished with His purpose for you on this earth, nothing can stop you from fulfilling God's divine purpose. Nothing. If it's not your time, God's going to heal you. And this is the beginning. These are types of what would be fulfilled and have been fulfilled millions of times through the last 2,000 years.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God could have disseminated His message of love any way He wanted, but He chose people. And to the people He chose, He gives them power to be His ambassadors. And today, Pastor Ray points out, along with His charge to share His love, He protects those in His service until their earthly time is up.
Okay, Mark chapter 16, verse 12. It says, after that, He, Jesus, appeared in another form to two of them, them being disciples, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Now here we pick up with the story after the resurrection of Jesus. The women, Mary Magdalene and some others, were actually four of them who were the first ones to see Jesus risen from the dead. They have run, as they were told by the angels, to go and tell the disciples Jesus is not dead. They were there on Sunday, mourning and grieving and brokenhearted and depressed, and yet Jesus was alive. So the women went to tell them. And the story of the Gospels is not like a fairy tale where they went and told them and they were all, oh, yes, we knew that He was going to rise on the third day. No, they did not believe it. We've already talked about Thomas, who did not believe. I won't believe till I put my finger into his hand, my hand into his side. Others who would not believe. And even when they saw and believed, they still, the scriptures say, had doubts. And now we find out in verse 12 that after that, He appeared in another form to two of the disciples as they walked and went into the country. Now, Mark doesn't tell us the whole story, but the other Gospels tell us there were two on the road to Emmaus. These are unnamed disciples. There are two of them who had obviously been followers of Jesus, have been disciples of Jesus. And they were believers in His life and His ministry. They had been there at Passover. Jesus had been crucified, He had died, He had been buried, and they were now on the road leaving Jerusalem, despondent, brokenhearted, and this stranger comes along next to them. It's Jesus. And Jesus kind of hides Himself from them, and they enter into this conversation. Now, I believe it's very interesting how Jesus chose to reveal Himself to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Rather than just standing in the road and saying, ta-da, here I am, alive, letting them see Him on the road as alive and risen, Jesus takes a hidden role before He lets them see Him or know Him. Now, what's interesting is, just because the Lord acts in one way, in one particular situation, doesn't mean He will act exactly the same way again. And what this shows is that this is, again, the reality of spiritual life, the spontaneity of it, the adventure of it, the unpredictable nature of your God, of your Savior, of His unique relationship with you. Apparently, there was something about these disciples that Jesus knew, and therefore knowing them, He wanted to draw out something in their hearts. So what Jesus did while disguising Himself, you know, and sometimes in the movies, they have Him like over with a hood over, and the other guys, they're kind of despondent. Their heads are down anyway, so they're not really paying attention. But what Jesus does is begin to engage them in a conversation about the Bible. He comes alongside of them and He says, hey, what are you guys so depressed for? Your heads are down. You're not even looking up. And they're like, where have you been? You're obviously Jewish. Haven't you been in Jerusalem, Passover, Jesus of Nazareth? We thought he would, have you heard of him? The miracles, the whole nation had expectations. We thought he was the one, he had power. He did this, he did that, and then he died. So the stranger was walking along, listening very intently. And then he says, well, very interesting what you've just said, because what you just said is exactly what the prophet said would happen when the Messiah would arrive. So they're like, so where are you getting this from? And the stranger, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he began to show them, and oh, how I wish you and I could have heard that Bible study. How would you love to have Jesus opening the Bible and beginning in Genesis and going through the law and the prophets, begin to talk about really himself? How many of you would love that? Oh, how I'd love to hear that. And finally, so they get excited. You can imagine, they've gone from depression to being thrilled and excited, like, wow, hope. Maybe there's a reason for all of this, or what happened, or he's making sense. I never put it together this way. They get into a bend in the road, and they would have gone this way to their home, and he is going this way, which is another interesting thing. Because Jesus, sometimes he talks to you, he ministers to you, you're walking along and it's all exciting, and then he starts turning a little bit away. What do you do when he does that? Or he gets quiet. He was talking to me, it was so clear, and I was hearing everything, and then he kind of went away. Well, these disciples at that moment, just like you and I, have a choice. And they could have let Jesus walk away and go, wow, that was so good. I just wish it could have continued. Or you can do what they actually did. They said, oh no, you're not going, no, you're coming with us and you're eating and we're feeding you. We're not stopping this Bible study. We do not want to stop hearing you speak to us. Have you ever done that? Your devotion, well, I gave the Lord 15 minutes. Wow, it was so awesome. He was speaking to me, but you know, boom, you close your Bible and on you go. Hey, look, if the Lord is talking and you are getting ministered to, then maybe you can go past your allotted devotion time, whatever it is, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and just let the Lord minister to you. So he opened their eyes. And oh, how I love the power of the Word of God. And then it says that when he broke bread, their eyes opened. Now, it doesn't say this in the scriptures, but it's interesting, and many of the commentaries will mention that, whether by legend or stories, that what happened was, again, his hands may be hidden by his robe, that suddenly as his hands emerged from the robe, they were able then to see the scars in his hands from the nails. And as soon as their eyes, can you imagine? It's Jesus. And as soon as they recognize him, he disappears from their sight. And they look at one another and go, wow, my. Wasn't your heart burning when he shared the word with us? Yes. Now here's the part that I think is hilarious. So from their vantage point, Jesus disappears. He's completely gone and they're having a conversation with themselves. You and I, behind the camera lens of the Holy Spirit, look and Jesus is still sitting there listening to them, watching them across the table talk back and forth to one another. He's there. Whether we see him or not, whether we feel him or not, he's always there. He promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Amen? So, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 and 17 talks about the response of the disciples, though it was sometimes it took a little while for them. Finally, they got it. Let's read it out loud together. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Notice, they saw him. We believe, we haven't seen him, but we believe and we see the impact and we see the fruit of the Spirit and he reveals himself in a variety of ways to us. They saw him, they worshiped him, but if you had a pen or a pencil, underline those last three words, but some doubted. If you literally saw Jesus who was crucified, alive, with the scars, and he appears to you, and you're like, and you get on your knees and worship him, and then he leaves and he ascends up into heaven, and then they doubted. Let me encourage you. Because a lot of people live under a lot of condemnation and guilt for their doubts. I want to encourage you, look, I have had doubts. Sometimes I still battle doubts, and you're like, sometimes it's so clear, it's so obvious, and it's so real, and I have seen the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord and the work of the Spirit. And then there are other times it's just like you can't see anything, you can't feel anything, you have doubts. How many of you struggle with doubts? I think it's human to struggle with doubts, but some doubt it. Here's good news to you. Only true believers struggle with doubts. Non-believers, they don't struggle with doubts because they really never believed to begin with. They can go along, they can play the game, but the fact that you struggle mentally or emotionally, or you question God, why are you doing this? Or you're all powerful, and why didn't you stop this? Or why did you allow this to happen? All the questions that we can go through can create doubt. And doubt is not necessarily a bad thing when we wrestle with the Lord, but you just make sure, like Jacob, you hold on until the Lord blesses you. Amen? Never let go. And I just love the Lord. He loves it because he will bring you to the place where you're wanting an answer to a direct answer to a direct question. And I have found that on occasion the Lord has given me a very direct answer to a very direct question. And then other times I've asked questions and the Lord has said, you can't handle it right now. You're just going to have to trust me. What do you do when the Lord says, I can't explain, you wouldn't understand it, but you will someday. So in the meantime, until heaven, I'm asking you, take my hand, son, trust me. Yeah, but I still, trust me, son. And when you're wrestling and you're all tied up in knots, and I'm like, Lord, I can't let this go. You know what he does? He says, okay, I want you to just take your eyes off this problem right now that's got you all tied up in knots and doubting and worrying and anxious. I want you to think about my son, and I want you to go to the cross, and I want you to get on your knees, and I want you to observe him. That's all the explanation that you need for now. That I sent my son, and he gave him, and he was crucified for you, is bigger and deeper than anything you are wrestling with now. Okay, Father, you got me. There's nothing deeper than the cross to unravel any doubts I might have until we get to heaven. And I got a feeling when we get to heaven, all those things, whoa, what about this? And all of those questions are going to kind of go away. We're going to see God and go, oh man, Lord, you don't need to explain. I see you. That's good enough. On with eating at the banquet of the Lord, you know, whatever.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Okay, verse 14. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, there's a little exhortation. Believe, if you haven't had the experience, believe the experience of others who have. And that's why testimonies are so powerful and so important. And they should have believed them, starting with Mary Magdalene and the other ladies that went to the tomb. But then, beginning in verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. These are the final words of Jesus Yeshua, and of course they must be of utmost importance. And at this moment, Jesus, who has just conquered our greatest enemy, the greatest enemy of mankind, which is basically the devil. Read with me Matthew 12, verses 28 and 29. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can someone break into a strong man's house and make off with his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? After that, he can ransack his house. In this parable, these are the words of Jesus himself. Jesus is saying, you know, because he's casting out demons and they go, oh, you're doing that by the devil, you know. And Jesus says, what are you talking about? The devil's not casting out the devil. He goes, look, I am coming and I am binding the strong man and I'm ransacking his house. What the Lord is saying is he is binding and exercising his power and his authority over the devil, and the house he's ransacking is this planet so that he can receive and reconcile men, women, boys, and girls from every nation, language, kindred, and tribe and bring them back into reconciliation with his Father. So Jesus' resurrection proves that he has defeated the devil. And so it's not like he gave us the job to re-defeat him. Listen carefully. The devil is already defeated, and he was defeated 2,000 years ago. All we have to do is stand in the victory that Jesus procured for us by his resurrection from the dead. Can I hear an amen on that? Stand ye therefore. That's our position in the spiritual battle. You know, I mentioned Ephesians, sit, walk, stand. Sit in heavenly places, walk in the Spirit, and stand against the devil. Why do we stand? Because we've got victory. We don't need to run or run around or, you know, we don't have to do anything. Just stand in the victory of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, who has all power and all authority, has now shared that with his believers, with those who are following after him. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, they doesn't mean that every single individual would do every single thing, but they being the body of Christ, different ones severally, as the Lord wills, he gives the gifts of his Spirit. But what it does say is that you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, we can pray for people. You don't have to just be a pastor. But if someone is being tormented by the devil, then believers can come together and they can pray in the name and authority of Jesus, and Satan has to bow. Not because of a position, not because of a rank that you have or even an office, but because, and it has nothing to do with us, it has to do with Jesus Christ. You have power and authority that has been given to you, delegated to you by Jesus Christ. And so we can resist the devil. You've got to recognize when it's spiritual warfare in your house or in your home or in relationships or whatever, and say, you know what? The devil is getting the best of us. So let's agree together. You grab your brother and sister and pray in the name of Jesus. We resist the devil. We stand in Jesus Christ and we rejoice in the Lord. And you can pray for one another. Have you ever prayed for someone that is, let alone demon possessed or oppressed? You have power and authority to do that. And they will speak with new tongues. Now, he's not just focusing on tongues, but this is the beginning of what will be many gifts of the Spirit, which the Holy Spirit would reveal in the letters through the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, especially in Ephesians, and also in Romans chapter 12. But they will speak in tongues. There will be supernatural gifts and signs given, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Now, what Jesus is not saying, he's not saying that every true believer is going to be able to do this. What he is saying is that there will be power and authority. And this was fulfilled, by the way, in the book of Acts with the Apostle Paul. A snake bit his hand because the devil was wanting to kill Paul from preaching the gospel around the Roman world. And you know what Paul did? He got bit, and all the people on the island are like, oh, he's dead. He's a goner. He's going to blow up like a blowfish and pop and right before our eyes. And Paul looked at them and he looked at that nasty snake and he knew that it was something demonically inspired and he shook it off. That's kind of cool. He shook off the snake and he shook off the snake in the woodpile in the fire and it dies. And so then, and they're all staring at Paul and Paul's like, hey, what are we having for breakfast? He's doing good. I am telling you because God was not finished with the Apostle Paul. And what has been shared with me by my pastor, I now as your pastor share with you. Until God is finished with his purpose for you on this earth, nothing in heaven or earth can stop you from fulfilling God's divine purpose and call upon your life, period. Nothing can hurt you or harm you. Nothing. If it's not your time, God's gonna heal you. He can heal you of disease. He can remove, you know, he can protect. He can sovereignly do anything. And this is the beginning. These are types of what would be fulfilled and have been fulfilled millions of times through millions of believers through the last 2,000 years. So here it is. Here's what the church is to do. Go into all the world. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, read that scripture out loud with me. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, teach them and then baptize them. And we could get into the baptism, which was the Jewish mikveh. And I've got some notes there that describe how that was used. But this was a what the Jews called a mikveh, was a confirmation of something that had taken place in your heart. So for those who follow and believe in Jesus Christ to be baptized, baptism does not wash or cleanse away your sins. Baptism does not bring salvation. Baptism is an outward sign that you've already been inwardly cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ by your faith in him. And therefore, in other words, baptism itself doesn't bring salvation. It's a sign that a person has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen on that? Yes. And the church has a task. We are to make disciples. And so I encourage you that we've got all kinds of men's groups, women's groups, growth groups, one-on-one discipleship, small groups, recovery ministry, whatever you need, it's available here. Take someone under your wing and bless them and teach them. And the church has a healing task. We are the agents and the body of the Messiah, and his resurrection power and presence is in us. And we have the power and authority to pray for one another and for God's Spirit to move upon one another. And the church has a source of power, which is the abiding Holy Spirit. So verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with the final installment in our study tour through the Gospel of Mark here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's study is titled, Go Into All the World. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, when you click Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on our site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray as we begin an inspiring study in the book of Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.